from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Every Monday and Friday, and when we need him, Ben Standig is with us. He is our Washington football franchise Commanders insider on this show at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. Read him on The Athletic and listen to his brand new podcast. It's really not brand new, it just has a new title. And the new title is Last Man Standing. So if you were a subscriber to the old titled podcast, you just need to resubscribe to Last Man Standing. Ben's at practice right now, and you just texted me that the head coach is barking down in distances. Can we hear any of that?
Well, you might. They're in a little bit of a break at the moment. But he was doing it like over like a mic, loudspeaker or something, where he was going like, okay, you know, it's, you know, 30 seconds left, third down, whatever this is, you know, whatever it might be, and they were going from there. So they're working on situations today, right now. I could well say that they're like inside. They're Jaden Daniels is at his own 3, working out of play. So we'll see if we hear DQ. But if he starts talking again, you will definitely hear it.
So you jumped on with us at the end of the show yesterday, and we talked about the Jahan Dotson trade. Dan Quinn will speak after practice today, so we'll find out what his thoughts were on why they traded Jahan Dotson. We really didn't get much from Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, although I did think one of the answers from Kingsbury, just about what they were looking for in the wide receiver room, was kind of another indication of why they may have moved on from him. But have you had any other thoughts or any other conversations that sparked thoughts since we talked yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've sort of heard or theorized since, it's been largely in line with where I've been at for the last, 2 weeks or so, which is to say that, I just don't think, he was a good, just a good, spiritual fit, may not be accurate, but just, here's my view of this. This kind of ties into the Brandon Ayuk thing we were talking about yesterday. I just think for year one, based on everything that they've done, where they didn't go crazy in free agency, they kept their picks. They're clearly, if they don't use the term rebuilding, whatever, but that's clearly kind of what they're doing. And in that first year, when you're resetting everything, including the tone, it is about establishing that competitive baseline or whatever it is that you were trying to establish. And that is what they are trying to do. And I just don't think that Jahan, relative to other players, was giving them that, which isn't to say that it's a bad player. It's more like an NBA team scenario where some teams are up-tempo and shooting threes and other teams are by defense and grinding it in the paint. And, you know, he's, I think this group is sort of that ladder mentality, and he's more of that finesse mentality. And it just didn't seem like it was working. And then beyond that, you know, it seemed to me that it didn't seem to maybe have the same confidence that he did earlier in his time here. So I think those are the factors. It's not like, you know, I think Zacchaeus has had a better camp, but I can't comprehend. They were like, oh, Zacchaeus is so good, we'll get rid of Jahan. And I know that, you know, the question of is this about getting another deal, you know, whether it's Ayuk or somebody else. I still don't think that's what's happening here, but I just think from a fit standpoint, he just wasn't for them. And rather than hope and pray that something would change or waiting and, you know, to see what happened, they decided to, you know, to get it to move ahead quickly. And I think that's kind of why they made the deal.
Talking to Ben Standing, he's out of practice today. Quinn will speak. I'm sure Chris will have a lot of what he said relative to the Jahan Dotson trade during his show, unless it happens at the end of our show today. So Quinn told me, you know, in my interview with him that There are several jobs, you know, in play. There's a lot up for grabs on Sunday night, maybe as many as seven spots on the team. He actually emphasized, though, that the contribution questions are larger, meaning who's actually going to be the big contributors. And we may not see guys in the first 3 weeks that end up becoming the biggest contributors down the road as they try to figure things out. What positions are up for grabs from your standpoint? Obviously, the kicker situation, even though they made a trade, but there's no guarantee, right? You don't think this guarantees that Cade York is on the roster for week one, do you?
I don't. I mean, I don't know what the conditions are of that trade, but I would imagine if they were to, you know, he's not here week one, that those conditions are irrelevant. They don't owe Cleveland in anything. So, no, I wouldn't think that. You know, again, we'll see who gets cut on the cutdown day and if that leads to somebody better. But, yeah, I guess they just decided to be proactive, get him in here as soon as possible. Obviously, he was an interesting prospect coming out, but I don't know if it's the Gips or just whatever, but he, you know, started to struggle his second year, and that's when they moved on from him to, ironically, Dustin Hopkins. But no, I think that could still be up in the air for sure. Beyond that, in terms of other battles, just in terms of making the roster, I mean, I think the receiver room is now even more open before. Not only is moving Jahan opening up a spot, but, you know, the players that they have, you know, your Byron Pringles, your Kazmir Allen, if we want to count him as a receiver, your Bryson, Tremaine's, Jamison Crowder's, like they all kind of bring different stuff. So it kind of just depends on what it is that they're looking for there. I think part of moving on from Jahan is to suggest that they like their slot guys, meaning, you know, Zacchaeus, possibly Crowder, McCaffrey would be another one of those guys. So they think they've got some weapons there, some options at least. I think that the depth cornerbacks are still in play. Like they're sort of the top four. But then after that, you know, I think Noah Igbinoghi is probably good, if nothing else, for like special teams and playing in the slot if needed. But then, you know, the last spot, I don't know, is that Anousian, the undrafted free agent, is that Tariq Castro Fields, who Dan Quinn highlighted the other day as standing out to him. And then, you know, of course, the backup offensive lineman. And then, you know, there's the Jamin Davis for Darian Mathis part of it. Right. It's hard to see a world when you look at the roster that they both are here. Maybe if Johnny Newton somehow starts the year on IR and Jordan McGee, like we know he's going to miss time, but we don't know how much time, so could he start on IR? Maybe that's how they both get on. But other than that, it's hard to see how they both get on. So where, you know, if they are, then who else is going? So, and then I guess maybe another argument would be the third, you know, are they keeping a third quarterback, that type of deal?
Yeah. Are they going to keep a third quarterback?
I don't know. I think one question I do want to try to ask Quinn today, we'll see how it goes, is, okay, so if we're over the competition part for number one, what about two? I mean, Mariota has been, I'm not assuming whatever this groin injury is that serious, but he's still been working on the side. He's not been out here today in the 11th. But even beyond that, like, I'm not saying that Jeff Driscoll has, like, blown him away or anything in practice, but I just, for me personally, I just think, like, Driscoll's got more aggressiveness in his game, both as a runner, but also throwing it down the field. And maybe down the field isn't always going to be the best idea if he throws it into traffic, but Mariota is a lot more conservative. So I'm curious. Like, I don't think he would go because I like him for nothing else as a mentor for Jaden Daniels. But, you know, I don't know. It may be absolutely nothing. I'm just possibly overthinking it, which is standard for me in life. But I do kind of wonder if that's any kind of a discussion that that would lead to, would they keep three? Now, Sam Hartman, I haven't forgotten about him. He's obviously been out with a shoulder injury. We'll see what his status is for this week. He's been out here today, so it's not like he's clearly going on the IR staff or something. But, yeah, what do they think about him? How does that factor in as well?
You know, last year they implemented the new emergency third quarterback rule, you know, after the 49ers in that championship game against Philadelphia were forced to basically play Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback, you know, in a title game. And that third quarterback has to be on the 53-man roster, I'm pretty sure, but, you know, doesn't need to be active on game day, but could play in the event that the first two quarterbacks got hurt. So he dresses. And I don't know, I kind of lost touch last year. Our team only had Howell and Brissett. Right? There was never a third quarterback. But I wonder how many teams did have a third quarterback because of that rule on their 53-man roster. And Do you remember? Washington didn't have a third quarterback last year.
They just had Jake Fromm on the practice squad all year, so but not for right. The rule that you're discussing. I think it's a good question. You know, you could make the argument on the one hand, you know, again, I'm not discounting that they're going to try to win as many games as they can, but if we're, you know, with an over-under of 6.5 wins, you know, maybe they think, hey, we don't need a third quarterback if something goes that haywire. Well, you know, it's probably not like about a game costing us the playoffs, that type of deal. On the other hand, if you're a team that's, going to truly be scrapping for a wild card spot or a division title, then maybe that's got to be more of an emphasis for even if it's the worst case scenario. But we'll see. You know, if it's Hartman, I would think that would be more because, hey, they think there's something here and maybe he's their backup quarterback next year. If it's Driscoll, it just may be either, like I said, either A, maybe he's, you know, has a shot to play it too, or just, hey, he's a veteran. By the trade deadline, there's injuries happen. Maybe we can trade him for even if it's that conditional seventh or whatever. I don't think that's inconceivable. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 49ers. They kept three quarterbacks on their roster all year long last year. Just, you know, trying to sense what Adam Peters thought or comes from.
Sure.
They had Purdy, Darnold, and Brandon Allen on the roster, on the 53-man roster all last year.
You would think they would after what happened in that.
Of course. You know. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. But also taking advantage of the rule that would allow you in that event to do it. Talking to Ben Standig, of course, you said as it relates to corners, the first four seem locked in. You're talking about St. Juice, Davis, San Ristil, and Forbes, right? So you expect Forbes to be on the roster.
Yeah, I haven't really considered them moving on from him.
Right.
You know, not just because he's only going to his second year, but I would think, you know, if you're Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, this is a guy you want to see at the project. You know, maybe they clearly didn't view Jahan Dotson in that way, but considering, you know, the success they had in Dallas with Trevon Diggs and Brand, you know, leading the league in interceptions in consecutive years, Brand setting the record for most touchdowns, interceptions returned for touchdown last year when Forbes is the guy who held the career record in college. I can't imagine that they wouldn't view him as somebody to work with. Not to mention last week, before Miami week, Dan Quinn said he probably thought it was Forbes' best week. I think there's still a question about like who were going to be the, you know, outside starters. And, you know, yesterday Joe Witt talked about how Mike Sanders, so they're using him even more now on the outside, even in two receiver sets, which, you know, at his size, you wouldn't have thought that would be the way they would go. But, you know, play in, play out, he really has kind of been looking the most consistent, mostly working out of the slot, but with effort and, you know, certain field maturity out there. But, you know, Forbes, and he mentioned specifically Sanders with St. Juice, so we'll see if that actually is a harbinger of what's to come. But
if Sanders stills is on the outside with St. Juice and they're in nickel, who's the nickel corner?
Well, I guess, you know, look, I think I'm not saying that their safety room is strong, but I think they maybe
Quan
have
Martin.
A few more options. Well, it could be, unless they leave him in the back. You know, they've been talking about, you know, Dominic Hanson playing some linebacker. I don't know if that means he would be with the ones, but, you know, I'm just saying that's a possibility. Yeah, it could be Quan Martin. You know, maybe Percy Butler has been out there a lot when they were doing three safeties. So
he
could easily be the flop guy. I feel like that's where they're viewing him as a contributor. So, I think, you know, we talked so much about forwards. It's hard to exactly gauge how these guys are doing with no pass rush and all that. But, you know, I don't know that, like, Mike Davis is, like, crushing it out here. So I don't think you have to have him on the field. And, if they don't feel like Forbes, then, yeah, going three safeties wouldn't be crazy at all.
What do they think of K.J. Henry so far?
Well, I would think they've got to be somewhat impressed. He's been one of the more consistent presences on the defensive line. And obviously, yes, the caveats, he's typically going up against, like, backups and things like that. But, you know, I think he's shown good discipline on the edge. I think he's shown good technique getting after the quarterback. And this goes to the Jamin Davis thing. Like, I don't want to keep talking on this, but, like, I feel like Henry is over Davis. So I don't, you know, now all of a sudden he's either your fifth defensive end, Jamin, or maybe sixth, depending on what they think of Jean-Baptiste. So I think Henry's looked pretty good. Dante Fowler has been out of practice for the last, I don't know, few sessions. I don't get the sense that it's anything serious. Could just be, hey, you're a veteran. Let's go over there and don't stress yourself. But I can see Henry being ahead of Fowler ultimately, just to have a younger guy out there to go with Farrell and Armstrong. So, yeah, I think Henry's looked pretty good to me.
How much have you seen of either three tight end sets or two backs, two tight ends, you know, when you've been able to watch practice? Have you seen Ertz, Bates, and Sinnott on the field at the same time?
I don't think so in a traditional passing set. I mean, you know, if they're doing some sort of goal line or short yardage runs, maybe, but I haven't seen that a ton. It's definitely been more, you know, three receivers and possibly four, and, you know, one running back and that type of deal. I do think, you know, I know that the Cliff Kingsbury reputation is three and four receivers, and, you know, certainly that's going to be a part of what they do. But when you look at this group in totality, the questions at tackle, the young quarterback, the fact that you probably going to want to emphasize the run game, I can see them playing a fair amount of 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, because, and with John Bates in particular being one of them, because he's really, you know, he continues to stand out as a blocker. And, again, if we're going to have these questions about tackle, which are fair, then that's a good way to help to chip, you know, for one of the guys on the outside to block, to be a lead. You know, maybe they have a design play for Jaden where he, you know, gets out in front of him. I think we saw some of that in the last game. So I don't know about three tight ends, but again, I also would say this, like, in the notion of who's going to be the second receiver, you know, with Jahan gone, sure, we're going to look at De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus, but I think going with, you know,
Hurts,
multiple tight ends, going with Eckler or Robinson, Fred, I think those are the people who probably benefit as much in terms of targets.
I'd throw the backs in there too.
Receivers. Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's conceivable that Robinson and Eckler both catch, you know, 40 passes, you know, depending on how things go. You know, maybe more in Eckler's case, depending on if he's purely a, if he's almost like the number two guy when he's in there. So, yeah, I I'm not saying that they have tons of weapons, but I think that their weapons are more diverse than just saying who's the second and third receiver right now.
Last one, and I'll let you run and get back to practice. Is Brandon Coleman penciled in week one as a left tackle starter if he's healthy and can practice, you know, starting next week in the lead up to the Tampa game?
Quinn said the other day he wasn't worried about the lack of practices for him, but just more of the progression. And it seems like, you know, they've been impressed with the progression. But that said, you know, he hasn't been out there really since before the preseason opener. So, you know, rookie and all that, I don't know how comfortable you would ultimately feel. And, you know, look, my thing with a guy like, say, Lucas, is that it's not that he can't go out there and be a solid tackle for you. It's just that I don't know if he can do it for 17 games, maybe not even 10, maybe not even 8. But they're fine if he's out there. So I think to that end, maybe they can give Coleman more time to get back to whatever it is, you know, game speed, et cetera. But, before that, he certainly was looking like he was going to be that guy. But, you know, you got to be out here to some degree, especially when you're a rookie. So we'll see how much, you know, Quinn is, that's really true. He's not worried about the missing time. I would have to think, oh, that's got to be some factor here.
All right, there's actually one more, because you and I have had this hunch for a while, going back even before camp began, and that is that there was a desire to have Kaz Allen make this team and be a big part of their return game. It's clear, I mean, you had the offensive coordinator mention Deebo Samuel and Kaz Allen in the same sentence yesterday. They love him. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I'm wondering if Sunday night, it's like they have to see it. They got to see a big return, or they've got to see a big run out of the backfield, or they got to see a big result, you know, on a reverse out of the slot. Is it big Sunday night for Kaz Allen to produce something special, or do you think that he's penciled in already?
I do kind of think this is one case where you got to see it, right? This is like, you know, your buddy saying his in high school that he's got a girlfriend in Canada, and maybe he even shows you a picture, but you're like, I need to see this to believe it. Like, okay, I get it. Like, the last staff too, they
Kevin Malone, she goes to another school, Ben. That's why you don't know her. She goes to another school.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I get it. You know, his high school records are off the charts. Like, literally the best, most touchdowns in a season, right, for any high school player ever. I think I heard you talking about that before.
Yeah.
So there's that. He's a fun element to have out there. He's a gadget guy that you see teams have. But, again, at some point you have to have it. He fumbled last week. I'm with you. I mean, I think all things being equal, they'll find a way to keep him. But it's not like we've seen a ton of actual production from him yet. So, yeah, it would be good for Sunday for no fumbles and actually making a play or two.
All right. We'll talk on Monday. And at that point, we can go through your projected 53. I would imagine by Monday at noon when you come on with me, even though the cut down date and time is 4 p.m., although we don't know how this regime handles it. They may give us the 37, you know, cuts all in one fell swoop, but I would imagine they would start to cut some of these players loose on Monday, don't you?
It's possible. You know, so many of the things we're learning, you know, this is the first time, obviously, we're dealing with Peters and Quinn in so many regards, and this is another one. Do they, you know, does it get strung out, or do they, you know, just say, okay, we know what we want to do, let's go? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if by Monday we start getting some looks. I mean, look, they've already made some choices. Like, they, you know, even with Jahan, they're not afraid clearly to say, yep, we're moving on from this and not to overthink it. You know, they've cut some other guys and we all might have thought, oh, maybe that player had a chance to make the team, and they moved on. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure they already know a handful of guys who definitely are not going to stay, and the ones that are, they'll, you know, that may take more deliberation.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, during a segment sponsored by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Denton's got a college football preview segment planned for us next. It opens up tomorrow in Dublin, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And I may have, before the end of the show, the first smell test pick of 2024. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
All right. Tomorrow it starts. We get College Game Day from Dublin. Talked to Stanford Steve before he left for Dublin the other day. He'll be on that set with all the guys. We'll get a college football season preview leading into Florida State, Georgia Tech from Dublin. Florida State ranked 10th in the country. They are a 10.5 point favorite over Tech, and I can just tell you there's a lot of public action on Florida State. So there may be a smell test pick to end the show today for the first week zero, they call it, in college football. So Denton, who hosts college football, a big-time college football show on Sirius XM during the season on Saturdays, but now this year on Friday nights as well, is going to give us a little preview of the upcoming season. And I think, Denton, because our audience, many listening, don't start to pay attention until college football, until the season begins or on the verge of it beginning, I think we should start with just how unique this season is and the fact that, for those of you who don't know, this will be the first year of a 12-team playoff. We've gone from 4 to 12 just like that. It'll play out starting the weekend of December 21st. There will be a game Friday night, December 20th, a triple game on the 21st with actual home venues for that. And then the bowl system will be used for the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and then there will be a national championship game. But let's just start with kind of how pumped are you that this is happening? And do you believe that, like some, it will somehow render the regular season less meaningful?
One, I'm pumped. You know, this is a day that many people prayed for. And then, as you mentioned, many people have gone on hunger strike to try and prevent, because the purists, they don't like the 12-team playoff. At one point, I was like that, because I thought, man, you know, that final week of the regular season is going to be so diluted. And then we had the final week of this year's regular season, and I was like, man, you know, like, it would have been really great if that LSU-Texas A&M game was for a spot in the playoff for Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman and get into the playoff. It would be really great if, like, one of these later games in the season for Penn State really had meaning. So I love it. You know, I think it's only going to add more meaningful games to the schedule. Like, the top four teams maybe won't be in as much of a crunch down the stretch of the season, but let's be honest, most of them never really are. I mean, there's only a few times that we've seen a team lose a spot in the college football playoff in the final week of the season. So I'm excited for it. I think it expands sort of the fun that you're going to see. And I'm all about parity. And this is the first year that we are guaranteed some sort of parity. You know, we've been so accustomed to having a very similar four teams in the college football playoff for years. We know for a fact we're going to get more than just the normal four teams. There's going to be somebody that pops in there that we're not expecting. So I'm excited about that element of it. It took me a while to get here, but now that we are here, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I think actually just the whole idea that somehow it makes this incredible regular season, which you could argue college football's regular season is the best regular season sport of any of the major sports, college or pro, that we follow, because every game was so crucial. You know, you could lose once and essentially be out of it, but by nature of the expanded, by definition, the expanded playoff means that you're going to have more games that will be meaningful, because you'll be playing for a playoff spot. Like you said, LSU, Texas A&M at the end of last year would have probably been for a playoff spot for LSU and Jaden Daniels. You would have had a lot of, let's face it, college football's championship weekend, conference championship weekend, how many years have we had two or three of those games mean nothing? You know, Wake Forest and Georgia Tech, or Wake Forest and Duke. Didn't Wake Forest and Duke play one year in an ACC title game?
I think it was Sam Hartman.
You know, Kansas State and Oak State. Like, every conference championship game now is going to matter. I wanted to point out, for those of you that don't know how it works, so There is a requirement for one of the non-power leagues to get a bid. So the highest-ranked non-power league team, which could be Denton's alma mater, Liberty University, gets one of the 12 spots. And the other thing about the way that the playoff field is determined is the top four bye teams have to come from the major conferences. So Notre Dame can't actually qualify for a top four seed. I think I have that right, Denton.
You are correct. Yeah.
And so at the same time, you and I have talked about this before, the teams that get a bye and don't have to play in that first round are also missing out on a massive revenue,
massive
first round game at home in their home stadium. So Notre Dame is a 5 seed or a 6 seed, may prefer that. Not that they need the revenue, but it'll be seeded, you know, 5 will play 12, 6 will play 11, 7 will play 10, 8 will play 9 on December 20th and December 21st. And then you get to the quarterfinal matchups with the top four bye seeded teams. They use the bowls for that. They use the bowls for the semifinals. And then the national championship game comes. It's going to be incredible. I was, in looking at this schedule, just like the playoff semifinals, Denton, Thursday, January 9th, Friday, January 10th, and then Saturday, January 11th is wild card, doubleheader Saturday. Sunday, January 12th is wild card tripleheader Sunday. And then you get a wild card game on Monday night. That stretch of football is going to be amazing.
It's a fire hose, and a lot of money is going to be won or lost. I mean, it's going to be so easy to just throw some bets down on it. It's going to be awesome. That's a stretch we don't get a ton. I mean, we're about to start a stretch, not this week, obviously, because it's only week zero. But next week, Kevin, I don't know how much you've looked at that schedule. Because the NFL hasn't started yet next week, they start on Thursday, and there's a ton of games on Thursday. Then they go Friday, Saturday, you get USC and LSU on Sunday, and then Florida State's in action again on Monday. So you get 5 days in a row of college football starting next Thursday. I love the way that the college game and the NFL game really have an understanding of, we can just pimp the schedule in favor of us and make it so that you have to sit down and watch these games.
Yeah, the first Saturday, Labor Day weekend of the full slate, Clemson, Georgia, Penn State, West Virginia, both at noon. Miami, Florida at 3:30. I'm going to tell you right now, I may have a smell test pick before the end of this show, but I will have a lot of juice on West Virginia plus that number at home in Morgantown against Penn State next week. That is such a high-pressure game for James Franklin, and you know that Morgantown will be fired up for that game. I'll bet you any amount of money I'll have Florida for the maximum at home in the swamp against Miami. I wanted to ask you real quickly before we get into all of this. Do you think Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State,
yes,
it's more important for him to beat Michigan this year or get to the playoff?
Beat Michigan. If you change that to win the championship, the answer is different. But if he just gets to the playoff and loses and then has also lost to Michigan, considering the context that this is not a Jim Harbaugh Michigan team, it's not a team that has like a J.J. McCarthy, who we didn't think would be drafted as highly as he was, but we had a pretty good idea he was going to play in the NFL. Their defense is still going to be good in Michigan, but with Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel both publicly coming out and saying this is one of the most talented Ohio State teams ever, you have to beat Michigan this year. It has to be done. So if he does not beat Michigan and they lose in the college football playoff before they get to the national championship, there's going to be hell to pay in Columbus. There's going to be a lot of really angry people asking for Ryan Day's head.
Write down October 12th on your calendars, people. Ohio State at Oregon in a conference game, Ole Miss at LSU, and Penn State at USC in a conference game. Not a bad Saturday afternoon. All right, this is what I want to do with Denton. I want to go through each of the leagues, tell everybody what these leagues look like now, because they've all changed, and then get Denton to give me the conference championship winner and then the other playoff teams from the leagues. Let's start with the Big Ten, because we just mentioned the Big Ten. Big Ten, for those of you who don't know, now 18 teams after the additions of USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. No more, you know, Big Ten East and West. Everybody's lumped into one thing. So the top two teams will face each other in the conference championship game. Thank That'll God. Happen for all these leagues.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, who wins the Big Ten? And then are there other playoff teams out of the Big Ten?
Yeah, so this is a league that's going to have multiple bids. You won't be able to say that about all four of the power leagues, but the Big Ten is going to have multiple teams making it to the college football playoff. It's chalky, but right now I'm still leaning in the direction of Ohio State. The main differentiator in my mind between Ohio State and Oregon is the coaching. I love Dan Lanning. He's one of my favorite coaches in college football, but it's impossible to deny that he's never won a massive game. He had multiple opportunities against Washington. That first game, which you and I were on Oregon on both of those games, but that first game, he effectively coached his way out of winning by continually going for two, continually going for it on fourth down. He tried to get a little too cute, a little too analytical, a little too aggressive, and it backfired. And then the second game, when they were massive favorites, I mean, 9.5, I think, is what the game went off at. It might have opened a little longer odds than that. And they lose that game to Washington. So I am kind of on the fence about what he can do against a good team in a big game. So like you mentioned, that October 12th day, circle that one on your calendar. But I do think it's going to be Ohio State that comes away with the Big Ten. Now, with that said, Oregon is going to get into the college football playoff. Those are the two that I am almost certain getting in. I have given you a bit of a long shot. The numbers come down a tad since I last gave it out to you, but I like Iowa to get into the college football playoff because that schedule is a cakewalk. Their offense isn't good. Their offense was atrocious last year, but if they can just graduate to being bad on the scale of good and bad offense, they're going to win 10 games because the most difficult game on that schedule is Ohio State, which you can chalk that up as a loss. But if you have 10 wins and you're in a Power Four conference, or if you have 10 wins and you're in the Big Ten, you're getting into the college football playoff.
Are they going to be able to score points?
I think so.
This year?
I mean, they literally can't be worse than last year. It is physically impossible. They were group of fives. They were junior colleges. Like, Northern Virginia Community College had a better offense than them. Georgetown's flag football team had a better offense. Like, it's impossible to be worse offensively than they were last year.
Cade McNamara is the quarterback again?
Yeah, I don't love him. I don't love him.
So you don't think Penn State makes the playoff?
I do think that they have an opportunity. I don't think that they would be there a shoo-in for the playoff. I need to see more from Drew Aller. I still am a believer that if you utilize him correctly, there is something to be done with Drew Aller on offense. But James Franklin needs to let somebody else be in control, because we have seen for multiple years with multiple quarterbacks that when he is the sole offensive mastermind, the quarterbacks usually fall off the rails around October, November. So somebody else needs to be in control. I do think they can get in. There's an avenue for them to get in, but I wouldn't call it a guarantee. So I got two teams that are for sure guarantees, and I got two teams in Penn State and Iowa that I think have a really good avenue to get in.
You know, keep in mind now, people, with like the way it's set up, Ohio State plays at Oregon on October 12th. They could play again in the Big Ten title, and then they could play a third time in the playoff. All right, let's go to the SEC. Who do you have winning it, and who do you have making the playoff?
So this is another conference that is going to for sure have multiple teams in. Georgia is going to win this because they are stacked in the trenches. You know, Kirby Smart, I don't really know how I feel, honestly, about Carson Beck. I've watched him. I like what I've seen. I don't look at him and say this guy is for sure the best quarterback in college football. So I'm a little skeptical about him, but Kirby Smart is the best when it comes to recruiting in the trenches. If you remember way back, when Dabo Sweeney was competing with Alabama, he was better, arguably, than Nick Saban at building an offensive and a defensive line because he right. knew that was how you had to beat them. Now Nick Saban is gone, but Kirby Smart is the top when it comes to recruiting an offensive and a defensive line. Now you should take their keys away. They don't need to be driving because they drive way too fast. But that team is going to be almost impossible to do anything against at the line of scrimmage. So I think they're going to win the SEC. I like Quinn Ewers more than most people seem to. Everybody seems to be like really not down necessarily, but not on top of him.
Texas's quarterback,
yeah. Nobody seems to love him the way they love Carson Beck at Georgia, or they love Dylan Gabriel, who's a Heisman favorite at Oregon. I still really like Quinn Ewers. I'd like to see what their wide receivers are going to look like, but I think they get in, and I think Alabama gets in. Jalen Milroe is my Heisman pick. I got him at 14-1, and it's a combination of seeing what he did last year, which was really impressive when it came to making big plays. There are certainly some flaws there, but really impressive at making big plays, and then coupling that with what Kalen DeBoer was able to do with Michael Penix. So Michael Penix was a good quarterback when he came from Indiana to Washington, and he turned him into a great quarterback. So I'm really excited to see how those two guys mesh together. I think Alabama, they're going to have two losses for sure just because their schedule is a gauntlet in the SEC, but I think they're getting into the playoff, and Ole Miss better get in. Ole Miss better get in. If Ole Miss doesn't get in, Lane's
so
in trouble.
So you gave me your Heisman pick right there, Jalen Milroe. But, I mean, you've got Georgia and Texas ahead of them, which would certainly give Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers a shot. I think they've got better odds anyway.
They do have better odds, yeah.
Yeah. Georgia's schedule, by the way, is a gauntlet this year, where it wasn't last year. They open with Clemson. They play at Bama. They play at Texas. And they play at Ole Miss. They have three games on the road against right now top six teams in the country. And by the way, Tennessee at home, and Tennessee's got a shot. So you got Georgia, Texas, Bama out of the SEC, Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa out of the Big Ten. Let's go to the ACC. Who wins it? And are there more than one ACC teams in the playoff?
This is where we're getting freaky a little bit. Florida State is the favorite. Clemson is a very close second behind them. Miami is a very close third. I'm looking at Florida State plus 320, Clemson plus 350, Miami plus 380. I like Virginia Tech at the ACC. I really like what Brent Pry is doing.
To win the league.
To win the league at 10-1. I've already put that bet down. I put that down weeks ago. I really like what they're building there. I've been fooled by Virginia Tech in the past, but I'm confident in what I've seen with them that they're going to be able to compete. And because this conference is so wide open.
Are they even ranked preseason?
They are not. They're on the others receiving votes, but they are not ranked. Which does, that doesn't bother me.
I love this. So go ahead. Tell us why Virginia Tech wins the ACC and is in the college football playoff.
I love their quarterback. I think Kyren Drones, there are some similarities when it comes to, I don't want to put the burden of him being similar to Jaden Daniels or being similar to a guy like it may be a Jalen Hurts, but there are similarities athletically. But it really comes down to who doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he's really good at protecting the football and being efficient with the football. And I think as you continue to grow in the system that they have there and you bring in a lot of the guys back this year that you had last year, there should be a comfortability with that. I've been really big this season on loving teams that bring a lot of their starters from the previous year back. In this wild world where everything is changing and guys are coming, guys are going, if you keep the core of what your program is together, I feel like that gives you a little bit of a leg up. And especially like with Florida State, they lost just about everybody. They're bringing just about every like new in at every position. So I like Virginia Tech to stun some people. You can get him at 10-1 to win the ACC, but I like Virginia
Tech. He rushed for nearly 200 yards in that bowl win in Annapolis, the military bowl over Tulane. Yeah. I think he was right. He had a massive rushing effort in that game.
They're going to be a fun team. I know a lot of people who are in the area are used to Virginia Tech being lifted up and then underperforming. This year is going to be different.
At Miami on a Friday night, late September, that would seem to be a big game. Who else from the ACC in the playoff?
I think it's just going to be their champion.
So no FSU and no Clemson.
I think the ACC, due to the fact that the Big Ten and SEC are incredibly strong and Notre Dame I'm expecting to get in, I think it's just going to be one team out of the ACC.
The ACC, let me just remind everybody, added Cal, Stanford, and SMU. Also in the SEC, which we already went through, Oklahoma and Texas in the league for the first time. All right, let's go to the Big 12, and we'll do that and get your Heisman pick and get your Maryland season pick and maybe a smell test when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, Big 12, Denton. Who wins it? How many playoff teams?
So this is another, I think...
Big 12, by the way, let me just mention real quickly, because it is different. Again, there's no hardcore college football fan that would be able to name all Big 12 teams right now. There are 16 schools. They added Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and a team that I love this year, Utah. Who do you like coming out of the Big 12?
I like Oklahoma State at plus 850. You know, I really love Utah and Kyle Whittingham, but I just don't know what version of Cam Rising we're going to see this year coming back off the injury. I hope it's the best version. If it is, they're going to win, but because I'm not confident in that, I think the best player in the conference resides on the roster of Oklahoma State. Granted, he's a running back, and running backs don't mean much, but I like Oklahoma State at plus 850. This is going to be the most fun conference, Kevin, because everybody's going to beat up on each other. So with that said, you might only get one team into the college football playoff, but it's going to be a hell of a ride getting to that one team.
Well, you need more teams here because you got three from the Big Ten, three from the SEC, one from the ACC, and one from the Big 12. That's eight. We need 12.
And I told you Notre Dame.
Who's your Power 5 team?
Well, I gave you Notre Dame.
Who's your non-Power 5 team, I meant?
It's going to be Liberty. Come on.
Liberty?
Yeah, of course.
You've got Notre Dame, so that gets you to 10, so you're missing two teams.
That gets me to 10, and then I think it's either going to be Penn State, Ole Miss. Maybe if a Clemson or Florida State can lose the ACC championship but only have one or two losses. I mean, it gets down to not feeling comfortable with everybody else. Like, I'm kind of intrigued with Tennessee and Texas A&M. You know, Tennessee has that quarterback, Nico Y, that's the big NIL dude. He gets $8 million. They're a team I'm intrigued with. So I guess I'll give you Tennessee. How about that? I'll give you Tennessee as a final one.
That's an interesting one. I'm with you. The way Heupel schemes it up offensively, I'm interested to watch that quarterback this year. You've got Jalen Milroe winning the Heisman Trophy. Your national title game and winner is?
I'm gonna go Georgia over Oregon. I don't feel great about it. It'll change, but I'm gonna go Georgia over Oregon.
So you got Ohio State winning the regular season title, winning the Big Ten title, but Oregon against Georgia in the final.
Yeah.
How many wins for Maryland this year?
Seven. They get to a bowl game again.
It's going to come down to quarterback for the Terps. They should be much improved defensively. They've got a really good defensive front. They'll be one of the better defensive teams, one of the better defensive teams that Loxley's had, but they're replacing Lua. Leah Tungavailoa, Talia, and I think Billy Edwards is going to end up starting the way it looks now. We'll see, but I'm excited. The Terps have a schedule that's very favorable. They're favored in their first six games, Denton, right now on paper. That could get them to an October matchup with the Trojans in College Park, USC, as an undefeated team. All right. I'm going to pass on a smell test pick here in week zero. It's just a bit too early for the smell test. I got to see these games. They're in Dublin. Georgia Tech's the right side. Don't get me wrong. Taking the points in Georgia Tech is 100% the right side. There's a lot of public action on Florida State. There's been sharp action on Georgia Tech. The one problem I have with it is just this game's been bet for like 4 months. You know, once it was scheduled for this date and as the first college game of the year, you've just got so much action on it. I personally will have Georgia Tech plus the points tomorrow. And my first wager really since, I don't know, did I bet maybe an NBA playoff game or two? I'll have Georgia Tech, but it is not an official smell test selection. We'll start that next week. All right, brother, back on Monday. And we'll have cut down date. By the way, it was announced today by Dan Quinn that Jaden Daniels will not play Sunday night against the New England Patriots. Not a shocker. Chris Russell up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
All right, Big 12, Denton. Who wins it? How many playoff teams?
So this is another, I think...
Big 12, by the way, let me just mention real quickly, because it is different. Again, there's no hardcore college football fan that would be able to name all Big 12 teams right now. There are 16 schools. They added Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and a team that I love this year, Utah. Who do you like coming out of the Big 12?
I like Oklahoma State at +850. You know, I really love Utah and Kyle Whittingham, but I just don't know what version of Cam Rising we're going to see this year coming back off the injury. I hope it's the best version. If it is, they're going to win, but because I'm not confident in that, I think the best player in the conference resides on the roster of Oklahoma State. Granted, he's a running back, and running backs don't mean much, but I like Oklahoma State at +850. This is going to be the most fun conference, Kevin, because everybody's going to beat up on each other. So with that said, you might only get one team into the college football playoff, but it's going to be a hell of a ride getting to that one team.
Well, you need more teams here because you got 3 from the Big Ten, 3 from the SEC, 1 from the ACC, and 1 from the Big 12. That's 8. We need 12.
And I told you,
get a power. Who's your Power 5 team?
Well, I gave you Notre Dame.
Who's your non-Power 5 team, I meant?
It's going to be Liberty. Come on.
Liberty?
Yeah, of course.
You've got Notre Dame, so that gets you to 10, so you're missing 2 teams.
That gets me to 10, and then I think it's either going to be Penn State, Ole Miss. Maybe if a Clemson or Florida State can lose the ACC championship but only have 1 or 2 losses. I mean, it gets down to not feeling comfortable with everybody else. Like, I'm kind of intrigued with Tennessee and Texas A&M. You know, Tennessee has that quarterback, Nico Y, that's the big NIL dude. He gets $8 million. They're a team I'm intrigued with. So I guess I'll give you Tennessee. How about that? I'll give you Tennessee as a final one.
That's an interesting one. I'm with you. The way Heupel schemes it up offensively, I'm interested to watch that quarterback this year. You've got Jalen Milroe winning the Heisman Trophy. Your national title game and winner is?
I'm going to go Georgia over Oregon. I don't feel great about it. It'll change, but I'm going to go Georgia over Oregon.
So you got Ohio State winning the regular season title, winning the Big Ten title, but Oregon against Georgia in the final.
Yeah.
How many wins for Maryland this year?
7. They get to a bowl game again.
It's going to come down to quarterback for the Terps. They should be much improved defensively. They've got a really good defensive front. They'll be one of the better defensive teams, one of the better defensive teams that Loxley's had, but they're replacing Leah Tungavailoa, and I think Billy Edwards is going to end up starting the way it looks now. We'll see, but I'm excited. The Terps have a schedule that's very favorable. They're favored in their first 6 games, Denton, right now on paper. That could get them to an October matchup with the Trojans in College Park, USC, as an undefeated team. All right. I'm going to pass on a smell test pick here in week 0. It's just a bit too early for the smell test. I got to see these games. They're in it's in Dublin. Georgia Tech's the right side. Don't get me wrong. Taking the points in Georgia Tech is 100% the right side. There's a lot of public action on Florida State. There's been sharp action on Georgia Tech. The one problem I have with it is just this game's been bet for like 4 months. You know, once it was scheduled for this date and as the first college game of the year, you've just got so much action on it. I personally will have Georgia Tech plus the points tomorrow. And my first wager really since, I don't know, did I bet maybe an NBA playoff game or two? I'll have Georgia Tech, but it is not an official smell test selection. We'll start that next week. All right, brother, back on Monday. And we'll have cut down date. By the way, it was announced today by Dan Quinn that Jaden Daniels will not play Sunday night against the New England Patriots. Not a shocker. Chris Russell up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.